Blog Talk Radio.
Get enough of that song by CeeLo and Melanie Fiona. Welcome to another week of Hear No Evil here at blogtalkradio.com. I am your host and show producer, Darlene Lewis, and tonight we're going to talk a little bit about what happens when you're so comfortable in a relationship that you just take it upon yourself to just get someone pregnant or get pregnant. Would you leave your lover if you found out that your husband, boyfriend, lover got another woman pregnant while you and he were still together? Would you leave them? Would you stay? Would you adopt? Let me know what you would do. Call me to talk about this situation because I'm a little confused. I found out, I won't mention any names, but a young lady confided in me that she's married to a guy who purposely got someone pregnant. Now, she already had two kids by a guy who's not even in the children's lives. She has a son and a daughter. Unfortunately, the son now has no male role models. His father doesn't want to be bothered with him, and his stepfather had a newborn baby. He's 16 years old, and now he's noticing that his stepfather had a newborn baby outside of the marriage with some street girl. This happens all the time. But lately, hip-hop artists are sleeping around with people while in relationships and having kids outside of the relationship. Now, what would you do? Have you ever been in this type of situation? Have you ever been a man in this type of situation? Have you ever been a woman in this type of situation? If you have, call me. Tell us how you got away with it. Tell us what's the secrets of surviving these type of relationships. I'm going to be on for an hour, and we're going to talk about a few things such as this and this horrible Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy is a mess. Call me now, 347-989-0761, and we'll be back after these messages.
The boy is mine, the boy is mine,
the boy is mine,
the boy is mine,
the boy is mine.
Your name.
get enough, can't get enough. East side, west side, worldwide. Ride out.
Nah, I ain't got no kids yet, but this right here's for practice. I hate to get the seats in the Benz wet, but that's how good your ass is. Make an old man get his glasses, make Wesley pay his taxes. Then follow your moves all week on Twitter. Probably make a gay nigga reconsider. You're now rocking with the best, man. Dress game down to the sex game. Won't rap, but the boy been blessed, man. Let you play with a sick old vet chain. She calling, she texting, she's falling. But let me explain. Gotta tell your old boyfriend, skate girl, cause a nigga don't play them X games. Nope, straight sexing, no handcuff or arresting. And I ain't coming off on my last name, cause I really can't take no stressing. About where I done been, who I done hit. Your homegirl saying he a bad boy, but I'm signed to the rock, no time for the gossip. Bitch, put down them tabloids.
She said I heard you got a main chick, I'm assisting some hoes. You be up to no good and everybody knows. My homegirl tried to want me, they tried to let me know. What you got, I need a lot, so I can't let you go.
She said I can't get enough of what you got. Good God, you hit the spot. Try to let go, but I just cannot. So don't you stop, I need it.
Hey, glow, try to cold, hotter, even way out in London town. Whole Tyler, cause they love my sound. And I got love for the underground. Quali, Pimp C, H-Town with Bungie down. Met a bad bitch that'll cut all night, that'll suck all night. You just cut off light. Almost missed my flight, trying to get my last little nut, alright. She be down for whatever, whenever I wanna get up in the gut, alright. Never fuss or fight, on the grind trying to find this headache. I love it when you give me head, I hate it when you give me headache.
She said, I heard you got a main chick, I'm assisting some hoes. You be up to no good, and everybody knows. My own girl tried to want me, they tried to let me know.
Can't get enough of what you got. Good God, you hit the spot. Try to let go, but I just cannot. So don't you stop, I need it.
Hey, cold world, baby, ain't nothing sunny. I see him hating, but it ain't nothing to me. I'm from the Ville where they bang for the money and carry 4-5s like chain 420. So what I look like, skirt. Them niggas over there look like nerds. Never mind that, girl, let's make a track. I beat the pussy up, that's a hook right there. That's a hook right there. That's a hook right there. Never mind that, girl, let's make a track. I beat the pussy up, that's a hook right there.
Said I heard you got a main chick, I'm assisting some hoes. You be up to no good and everybody knows. My own girl tried to want me, they tried to let me know. What you got, I need a lot, so I can't let you go.
She said I can't get enough, can't get enough. I can't get enough of what you got. Good God, you hit the spot. Try to let go, but I just cannot. So don't you stop, I need that.
Can't get enough. Listen, author W. Bradford Wilcox, who is the director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia and author of When Marriage Disappears, The New Middle America, says that is anyone surprised that more than half of births to American women under 30 now occur outside of marriage? Or that marriage is losing ground in Middle America? Now, what's the big idea? After all, some Americans believe that marriage is just a piece of paper, while others think that fathers are no longer essential. Now, despite these worrisome statistics and views, the institution of marriage is not disappearing in American life. Marriage is certainly not in trouble for the privileged and powerful. Forget Kim Kardashian, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or Tiger Woods. In spite of the high-profile marital misbehavior of a few politicians, professional athletes, Hollywood starlets, hip-hop recording artists, marriage is actually growing stronger. In many respects, among educated and affluent Americans. For Americans with a college degree, divorce is down, marital quality is stable, and family stability is up since the divorce revolution of the 1970s and early 1980s, according to research. However, marriage is in trouble not only in poor communities, but also increasingly in middle America, communities where most people have a high school degree but not a four-year college degree. For Americans without a college degree, divorce remains high, marital quality is falling, and non-marital childbearing is surging. Now, the problem with the growing marriage divide in America is that children and men often pay a big price. For instance, research indicates that boys who are reared outside of marriage are about twice as likely to end up in prison by the time they turn 30, compared with boys raised in an intact married home. Similarly, studies show that girls raised in fatherless homes are at least twice as likely to end up pregnant compared with girls raised intact married homes with their fathers. In general, children born and raised in a married household are more likely to graduate from college, find employment, and enjoy stable marriage as adults. Likewise, married adults are happier and less depressed than their unmarried peers. Now, I don't know about all of that. I'm just telling you about the research. And because they work harder, act more strategically and carefully after they tie the knot, men enjoy a wage premium that may exceed 10% compared with their single peers. Married men are also much less likely to abuse alcohol, drugs, or run into trouble with the law compared with their unmarried peers. In the words of Nobel laureate George Akerlof, an economist at the University of California in Berkeley, men settle down when they get married. If they fail to get married, they fail to settle down. So thus the problem with the retreat from marriage in poor and working class communities is that fewer children, not to mention adults, especially men, benefit from the meaning, direction, and stability afforded by an intact family life. But conversely, American adults and children hailing from more educated communities and affluence are more likely to be doubly blessed with high levels of income and education, as well as strong and stable families. There are at least two ways to bridge the growing marriage divide. First, liberals correctly note that one reason marriage is disappearing is that men in poor and working class communities are having greater difficulty finding stable, decent paying jobs, particularly as manufacturing jobs head overseas. Our government should aim to strengthen vocational education and job programs in these communities. Conservatives are also correct to point out that the cultural foundations of marriage have weakened in poor and working class communities. For instance, since the 1970s, less educated Americans have become more accommodating of divorce, whereas college educated Americans have become more intolerant of divorce and are, in fact, more likely to embrace marriage mindset. Accordingly, policymakers should consider a public health campaign to educate people, especially those in poor and working class communities, about the value of marriage and fatherhood, much like they have educated the public about the dangers of smoking and drunken driving. Such a campaign may seem chaotic, but the evidence suggests such campaigns can drive behavioral changes. Mr. Wilcox says that given the importance of a strong and stable family life in children's lives, our leaders should take actions that will strengthen the institution of marriage. The alternative is a future where children from some communities are consigned to increasingly unstable and unhappy homes. That is simply not acceptable. Now, is he talking about marriage between a man and a woman? Is he talking about marriage between people of the same sex? Because it seems like the people of same sex are honoring the marriage vows more than heterosexuals. So what do you think? Give me a call, 347-989-0761. I want to know, and I want you to be really serious with me when you call in. Tell me, have you ever been in a situation where a child was born outside of your relationship? How did you guys deal with that? Like, how do you deal with that? Like, as a female, how do you accept the baby, keep the baby in your home, raise the baby as your own, knowing deep down inside that that child will grow up and know that you're not that child's mother? Let me know. Be right back.
Don't think shit stink, pink gators, my Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn, dead right, it's a head right, Biggie there, air night, Papa been school since days of under rules, never lose, never choose to, bruise, cruise, who, do something to us, talk, go through us, girls want to us, wanna do us, screw us, who us, yeah, Papa and Pop, close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch, yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3, bang every MC easily,
take
that, recently, ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace, keep my peace, Cubans with the Jesus peace, with my peace, packing, asking who want it, you got it, nigga, flaunt it, that Brooklyn bullshit, we on it. To DKNY, Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty for the coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the shit? The niggas ride dick. Frank White pussy sick. Call the Mac. LX, four and a half. Bulletproof glass tips if I want some ass. Gone blast, sweet foot. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass. At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and bras, tits and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars, and still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment, at my arraignment, no for the plaintiff. The daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement, face it, not guilty, that's how I stay too. Richer than richer, so you niggas come and get me.
Come on.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me.
You with real millionaire shit. Escargo, my cargo, 160, swiftly. Wreck it by your new one. Your crew run, run, run. Your crew run, run. I know you sick of this name brand. Nigga with flows, girl, say heat. Sweet like nigga with. So get with this, nigga, it's easy. Girlfriend, here's a bitch. Call me round 10. Come through, have sex on rough, that's Persian. Come up to your job, hit you while you're working. For certain, pop a freaking, not speaking. Leave the ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them who, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe. Dick black like Kobe. Watch me roam like Roman. Lucky they don't owe me. Where to say, show me, homie.
Homie. About you and me.
I know sometimes I go hard for no reason at all, but your soul through the fitness and test the weight of your heart.
But when your back's on the wall and there's a shout at your friend, you know that I'm with you until the end.
we got hood love. I be cussing, I be screaming like it's over. Then I'm longing and I'm feeling just to hold ya. Cause that's how we do. You know that hood love is a good love. That's me and you. How you feel, love? Well, I'm with you, never quit you. Now that's real love. When you ain't here, then I miss you. Cause I feel love the way that we do. You know that hood love is a good love. That's me and you.
Sometimes I think about leaving you, but when I think about what we've been through, yeah.
Yes, welcome back to Hear No Evil, blogtalkradio.com, and we have a caller calling in from a 702 area code. Welcome, caller.
Hi, Darlene.
Hi.
It's Kim.
Hi, Kim. How you doing?
Good. How you doing out there on the East Coast?
Oh, you have no idea what we are dealing with. It has been the most craziest month for me. I can't even begin to tell.
I know. I got you. I see what you're writing, and boy, oh boy, you really, whoa. You have
really
a full agenda,
money.
Girl. No, it's not.
It's when I say funny, it's been the elements, it's been the physical problems, and it's all a test because the average person would have lost it by now. First of all, I need to be on the road in like 45 minutes. There's no gas anywhere. No gas. No one can get gas. All of the gas stations are without gas. That's number one. Number two, unless you are carpooling, certain bridges you can't even go over. The tunnels are completely closed. It's like we're hostage. We're being held hostage. Sandy is a terrorist. I don't care what anyone says. This is the craziest. And you know what? New York thought that it was invincible.
Mm-hmm.
You see? You see what happens? You don't mess with Mother Nature.
No, you can't.
Telling you, between the trees falling on a car that I was in a couple of days ago and me having an asthma attack, and then looking at all of the devastation in New Jersey and in Staten Island. Nobody's really talking about Staten Island and Rockaway, but I'm going to tell you, it's worse than what's happening in New Jersey. They're keeping that hush-hush because I guess, you know, this marathon is coming and they don't want the tourists to, you know, go somewhere else. But this marathon should be canceled.
Yes,
because
or postponed.
Well, postponed. Because, first of all, it's ridiculous. Like, I would not risk having people run through Central Park.
And, you know, it just to me, I'm not out there, so maybe I can't speak, but it just seems to me that when disasters take place around this world, we are just on it. And it doesn't seem like we're getting the same kind of care that goes on around the world that the United States offers for their own people. And this, you know, this went on with other disasters that we won't even go
mm-hmm.
there, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, take care of our own. And it always seems like, you know, when you have a disaster, you already know, okay, great thing they did that with the subways. My brother drives the trains.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I understand because if they didn't do that, New York would be even more crippled than they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
However, to look forward when you're running a city, things like this should have been a concern, knowing that there's not going to be gasoline, knowing that there's not going to be public transportation to provide the people who do have working cars and, you know, who can help other people get to work to make sure that there's gasoline somehow. Bring in a truck. Do something.
The electricity is out still in parts of Staten Island. It's just horrendous.
And my brother lives in Brooklyn and Garrison. He can't even get flood insurance because he's in a no-flood zone, but he lives right by the water.
Unbelievable.
My sister lives on the water in Massapequa, so you can only imagine, you know,
so
her home became part of this ocean, you know.
Oh, my God.
So it's crazy.
But
in one way I say I hope at least some people take, you know, it's terrible to think that you're trying to learn a lesson, but you know, I know a lot of people all over the world, but in New York is so competitive with always trying to keep up with the Joneses and who has a better car and whose house and who got this. And, you know, your five-year-old's getting manicures and pedicures and trying to keep up with everyone else. You need to get back to what's really important in life. And I'll tell you, some of the best days of my childhood were spent with no power in the house. Because you have no choice but to be with your family. There's no
and
TV.
And use your brain to create things. And
sure, play games and get back to knowing one another. You know,
exactly.
So that's kind of a little blessing in disguise. And if they can keep that going forward and not everybody running in another room to the computer or, you know.
Wow, that's an even better topic than the topic tonight, which is would you leave your lover? Now, I'm telling you, I cannot believe some of the things that go on in relationships and what women will tolerate just to stay, to say that they have a husband or a boyfriend or a lover. And am I crazy for feeling like that's like your standard should be high and that your husband should be so afraid to do anything? And if
I put the fear in God of my husband. But you know what? If he's going to do something, he's going to do it. I just let him know ahead of time. This, he knows that is a definitive line. There's no coming back from that. Because to me, that's breaking a bond. We have a sacred bond. I'm not going to do it to you. Don't do it to me. And if you feel that you need to do it, I know it sounds crazy, but tell me about it first, please, because let's have it out in the open. Don't hurt me that way.
Right.
So if you feel you need to do something, then at least let me know, because the result's going to be the same. It's just going to be worse if you do it, you know, sneaking.
And then but how can you tolerate having, okay, let's
I can't.
Say, for instance, like this female that I do know, the baby's like 10 months, 11 months. She's been with this guy 8 years. She has two kids by another guy who's an absent parent. She has a boy and a girl. The boy is 16, the girl is 20-something. I mean,
you know, I try to look at it always from the other person's side. In some situations, you do have people that, A, have a low self-esteem and feel that they're not worthy of getting any better. Number two, do not, I know this is going to sound strange to people like you and me who feel the way we do about relationships and, you know, being, you know, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Being true to one another. But there are some people that's not really a definitive ending in a relationship to be cheated on. They just don't look at it at the way we do. And then the third is, are there some women who have been in a marriage and have overcome so many trials and tribulations and really love their man and have made a mistake? And are they better to people to forgive and say, this is a child, an innocent child, and I need to be a better person and forgive, if it's not something that occurs all the time? And I look at these people and I say, are they a better person than I am? Because I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can do that. So, in a way, I don't always look down on somebody who can do something like that, depending on the situation, like I just said, 1, 2, and 3. So, I mean, I try to understand how other people deal with things, you know. I only know how I would deal with it.
I know for a fact, because, to be honest, my life is so mirrored in this type of situation, and I've always noticed that you know how you just break the cycle of things. You say, okay, I'm not going to do the same things my family did, and then you try to say to yourself, well, what happened in the relationship where the person had to go outside the relationship to have a physical relationship? Because I don't care what anyone says. The condoms, the birth control, like, that's very important to me. Like, I'm more concerned about catching a disease. When I really, you know, all of that is important. But my thing is, I would just say to myself, this person went out and had sexual contact with someone and didn't let me know. No telling
that back
what,
home.
Mm-hmm. No telling what, you know, you worry about these things. But then this man purposely got this woman pregnant so that he can have a child of his own. And he took the child, and now the girl that's married, and he is raising this little baby. This so it sounds like the Bible to me. I'm like, what's going on?
Well,
here?
You know, there's always different stories, and I don't think it's ever right to do something like that. I know a person who led the husband on, always thinking that they were going to have children when she had no intentions of ever giving him a child, knowing that this was a huge thing in his life. He loved children. It's why he wanted to be married and have a family. So I'm saying not that this person did go out and cheated, and it wasn't him, but the girl who was, she wanted to stay in the country, so let's just say she was putting holes in the condoms. She got pregnant, and, you know, that, of course, marriage no longer exists. However, if there was some honesty in the relationship, she didn't want to lose him, but she didn't want to have children, and this is all he wanted. So he should have just dissolved the marriage instead of doing what he did, sneaking around. And, you know, so, you know, people just, if you want it, one wants a child and one doesn't, that's really a hard thing to overcome.
Yeah, but still.
But that doesn't mean you go out and, you know, do it on the sneak either.
Exactly. And then, okay, in this situation, he told her, but suppose he hadn't told her, and the baby would have grew up not knowing who, you know, what was going on, and then maybe like 10, 15 years from now, winds up meeting her brother, falling in love with her brother, because, you know, things like that happen all the time. It's crazy.
Wow.
That's crazy. So I mean, the honesty part is cool. Like, you have to be a really strong person. And another thing, a lot of women are tolerating this in the hip-hop community. Like, for instance, look at this Lil Wayne situation. The rapper Lil Wayne?
Yeah, no, I know. I was just...
He was actually, okay, he had a wife. They had a daughter. They separated. They broke up. He ended up dating some singer girl, got her pregnant at the same time with Laura London, another actress. So now these both babies are in the public eye with their mothers. You know what? These girls are doing it because they want the money. So they tolerate it because they say, oh, well, he's a multimillionaire. My child, he may not be in my life, but my child will have the money. I'll have the money. I'll live good.
So that's their meal ticket.
That's their meal ticket, and it's happening so much.
You know what? It's the new age welfare scam. You know, back in the day when your child became of age to go to school,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you were going to have to go to work, some people would have another baby. This way mm-hmm. they wouldn't have, you know, I mean, I'm not, it's terrible, but it happens. It's just now. It's, well, you know what, I can live the life and be in the fame, and all I got to do is have the baby, and that's my ticket. I don't know. This world is crazy, you know.
This world is extremely crazy, but on a good note, there's good people out here that are living right and trying to
yes.
do things. Now I understand that you have your book out. Tell the listening audience about your book and how they can get your book and blah, 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 blah.
Well, with the first, my second book that I'm working on, the A B-Girl and a B-Boy World, I'm just waiting on a few more things I have to finish, and that will be done. As far as The Secret She Hid in the Night, which I owe all to you, you know,
oh.
without you, I would have never been down that road, at least not at this time. And for a book that really wasn't supposed to be a book, it's doing well as far as everybody who has read it absolutely really loved it. And the thing is that I want to make sure that they're not really, you know, enjoying the book because they know the person who wrote it. You know, mostly, of course, at this point, family is buying it, and then it's starting to branch out to friends of family. Oh, they hear about it, or they talk about, oh, I read this book that, you know, my cousin or my niece or, you know, my aunt wrote. So mm-hmm. those types, it's now starting to go on to those types of people who are really enjoying it. So once the hip-hop book comes out, that's the one that I'm really going to put a lot of energy into because I think it's, you know, a lot of people already waiting for it. There's a lot of stories, there's a lot of history, there's a lot of funny stories. You know, I've fit a lot into those years, so there's a lot of things that I think people will enjoy in that book and a lot of history that a lot of people have no idea about.
Exactly.
Because
that's
it hasn't
the
been,
that's
hasn't
the
been out
that
there,
wanted
you know.
I wanted to impress upon is that you're going to come with some information that the media, the educational industry, you know, politicians, a lot of people are not aware of the whole story. They get one view, and because
exactly.
people, you know, they don't know that the people that actually created certain levels of entertainment are still around. Because people are so laid back, a lot of people don't really know how to promote themselves. And then again, a lot of people don't have access or don't know how to utilize media.
Correct. Well, that's what I'm going to be doing with this book that I did not do with the first. And the only reason I didn't do it with the first is because I just felt that I had a better chance with this book and that I have history and, you know, It's just something that I really want to put everything behind it. And, you know, I can only speak on my own experiences. I would love to give other people props in this book. However, when you talk to people, especially in hip-hop, you find that so many people are trying to take credit for creating this and creating that, and I would never put any information that unless I witnessed it myself. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard in that aspect to, you know, give props to other people, you
right.
know, like that whole thing with who came up with hip hop, you know, how that was it, you know how it is. So
yeah.
basically I decided with this book, I just have to tell my own story and things that I know to be factual for myself.
And the truth will rise. And that's what I always say to people, like the truth will come out. You know, sometimes people have amnesia and they don't remember everything. So
oh,
when you
yes.
write these type of books, it's really good because this way you start remembering stuff and you say, oh, my God, I got to put this in there. I got to put that in there. And
oh, you are so right. You are so right. But you know what? God has blessed me with a lot of people recently that I have reconnected with, and these people have memories that are, I mean, and it's so funny because I have a pretty good memory from you know, back in the day. That's why
mm-hmm.
I said I better hurry up and write this book before I forget who I am. I forget who I am. But, you know, a lot of the stories, like I said, they're funny, and, you know, there's a lot of crazy stories and things that are just, you know, I had read a couple of lines to, like, my husband, and I wanted to make sure that I was coming across, because the story you may tell, like you and I speaking right now,
mm-hmm.
you have to be able to put that in words in a book where the person reading it is going to be able to, you know, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different way of how you speak, and it's another way of how you write something that, you know. So I wanted to make sure it was coming across, and we were sitting there laughing. So I said, well, if this made him laugh, I hope it'll make the readers laugh as well.
Listen, it's going to be an educational ride, and at the same time, those people that really, really are not informed, this is going to open up their eyes, and this is going to, they're going to say, wow, I never thought of it in this manner because, you know, for some reason, hip-hop has had, like, a really bad label, and the behavior of certain individuals made it like that. And then the money just messed it up. The corporate side of it
yes.
really, really messed up the culture. You know what I mean? And the venues and the
I have a feeling it's gonna go back to its roots. I have a feeling it's gonna do another turnaround, and because a lot of people really look back on the beginning of hip hop and just the whole way it was and what it's become, and people like it the way it used to be, and a lot of people want to see that come back out. And what hip-hop represented in the beginning, And I, myself, as a writer, was very conflicted into telling my own story, funny, uplifting, but also the trials and tribulations that I myself had to go through. Mm. And somebody told me, as a writer, you are responsible to tell it how it was. However, there are some stories I have to leave out because I don't want to bash anybody else. You know what I'm saying? Because there were a lot of, things going on behind the scenes that weren't nice and weren't fair and still aren't. But that's not what I want my book to be.
Your readers that. You have to get that out. You know why? And I know this is going to sound crazy, but people like horrible stories. People love horrible stories. And
but you know what? For the people, I've noticed that there are people who are worshiping certain people who are out there who are being paid to lecture hip-hop history and who are not telling the truth.
Then
they are
that
reinventing
out.
It to make themselves look like they were more than what they were.
Exactly.
Now, if I write these things in my book, I'm going to look a hater, and I'm not looking to bash,
listen,
because then it comes down to people get very upset.
But you have to do that. You have to. Even if I'm wrong, and I know that you've been very supportive. If I say something that's not right or whatever, come for me.
No.
Is what you got to do. This is what we call debate. Because the problem with people, they're just so used to the fluff, and they're getting over. And I say to myself all the time, am I the only person alive that knows these people are frauds? Like,
no, you're
it
not.
It bothers me. It bothers me when I see, these hip-hop award shows and, these documentaries. Mm-hmm. And then now these people have classrooms that they're teaching in. And I'm like, who the hell? Like, my friend Eli Tubo, he's an engineer, ex-DJ. He's really known and producing a lot of stuff, and a lot of people know him from the Rakim, Eric B. and Rakim Paid in Full song.
Right.
And, he's taking some courses. I think he's getting his master's or his PhD. I don't know what it is. But he's doing a course on the technical side of it. So he wants to do a documentary on, turntablism and the technical side of the engineer and how the engineer is really the producer and stuff like that. And he said that he has taken a course, and he said he sits in the class and he listens to this man lecture on hip-hop, and he's sitting there and it's killing him. He said, you know what, I have already started a book. He said it started out just I'm going to do a documentary. He said, but I have to write something too. I was like, do it, because these people are getting over, and I'm going to tell you, it's not right. I mean, it's like they're getting paid. Lie. Come on, because nobody's coming for them. Because
you know what? I guess I gotta put on my big girl panties and just you know what it is. I get a lot of people who I know from 30 years ago, and I will see the things they will write in my inbox.
Mm.
Oh, you were this and that and da da da, but will never dare have the nerve to write it in a post. Mm. Who are you so afraid of? Why are you so afraid but this is what I deal with all the time.
Cut and paste that information and put it in.
You know what? I don't need my ego stroked. But you know what? It's just so funny because I deal with this all. I talk to people on a weekly basis who are having the same conversation with them as I'm having with you. And
mm-hmm.
these are people who were there from the, I'm talking about from back in the 70s. Started it all, people who know, and I've encouraged them to do what you're encouraging me to do, because they have actual footage of people saying, well, I did this, and I learned this, and I made up this, and then this person has footage of them teaching these other people. So,
Wow.
let the people who have that, undeniable information, you know, and I will back them. But
that,
you know what,
wonderful.
I just want to put out, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I do have some things in there that, you know, I had to put in. But basically, you know, my big thing is also women and you know, B-girls still, 30 years later, are not getting equal billing. Every show is B-boy this and B-boy that, and they will have girls in the competition, but they never seem to get the same billing. So that's something I really would like to see change, because you know what? They work just as hard, if not harder. You know, they're out there doing it.
And they're breaking those damn bones in the process.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's
for
you
sure.
And that's something that, you know, like I said, you really, it's long overdue.
Okay.
It's so long overdue.
Well, listen, you know, I trust you. I know you would never steer me wrong. You're an intelligent woman.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
Well, you know, I just think you're amazing. And I feel that, you know, you do so much for others, and I see that it's not reciprocated. You know, okay, so you're not a reader. Would it kill you to support this woman who supports everybody else and buy one of your books? Poetry, something. You have something there for everybody. You can't tell me that there's not a book that you have out there that wouldn't interest some people.
People normally deal with people like me when I'm dead and gone, and then they'll say, oh, wow. Wow, okay, I get it now. But by then, you know, you should have given me my flowers when I was alive, you know. But that's what happens, you know, you don't do it, you know, you do it to try to educate people. And if you make a couple of dollars along the way, you know, case
it's up. Not about the money. It's not. It's about supporting somebody who, you know, if people would just treat other people the way they want to be treated. And, you know, you want people to do things for you, but what about doing for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I know in that aspect,
you and I are so alike.
Yeah, but you know, in an ideal world, they wind up coming back with their hands, you know, open, and then
well,
they
well, I
have
just say this. Karma is, I always write this, karma is something you do not have to believe in order for it to kick your butt.
Mm-hmm.
It will get you. And let me tell you something. When you're, whatever you believe in, when it's your turn, you know, to come up to your maker, do you think they're going to say, wow, man, those were some great head spins you did. Come on in. Oh, damn, that music was banging. Come on in. Or you had the best. Oh, that Porsche you drove was just the bomb. Come on in. You know, it's how you treat people and how
that's
you live
right.
your life every day.
That's right.
And that's what people should really, you know, hold important. Because when you leave this earth, all you leave is what's in your heart and your soul. You don't drag all that other stuff along.
Exactly. And that's, and basically, with this social networking, and the social network has really separated people when you think about it.
Yes.
Because people are so busy instant messaging and texting that they don't even call people anymore.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time a person picked up a physical book? Everything's
right.
on a Nook or a Kindle, you know.
When's the last time you went and visited your grandmother, if you know, your grandparents?
If they're alive, if they're alive, or your family, listen, your own brother. You know, people just don't reach out and touch unless there's a disaster, a funeral, a concert that they want to get in or they want tickets to. You know, that type of thing. But what can you do? People will learn the hard way. But, Kim, thank you so much for calling in. Two people.
When you and I speak,
you need to
get a two-hour show.
Well, you know, sometimes I, you know, the only reason why I'm on to this late is because we were trying to get guests.
Aww. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure. And
well,
I support
you, so
you fully.
And I support you fully. And
I know
wish
you do.
A lot of luck with your book.
God bless me by sending
you
my way.
Tell people where they
really
can get
did.
Your book. Tell people where they can order your book from while I got it.
Well, yes. All of them will be, when my other one's available, also be available on BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, and Lulu.com. That's Lulu. The one that's out now is called The Secret She Hid in the Night. It's a great little book if you like romance,
and
family,
and
murder,
so
mystery.
Name.
It's got it all.
And your name is Kim.
Kim. Kimikaze Valenti. V-A-L-E-N-T-E.
And is there a website where people can contact you or email?
Actually, no, I don't have a website yet. I'm working on that. But you can always get me on Facebook at Kim Kimikaze Valenti or on my email, which you can reach at dynamicdoll1@gmail.com. dynamicdoll1@gmail.com.
And on that
note. Well, listen,
note,
it's been a pleasure. I know you got to get driving, so you be safe out there.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for the info.
All right, have a good one. God bless.
Thank you.
Touch me in the pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, I want to feel you in my arms again, and you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave, and it's me you need to show, how deep is your love.
Tuning in to Hear No Evil here at blogtalkradio.com. You can call in 347-989-0761 normally on Thursdays between 6:30 and 7. tonight was a special extended edition. I want to thank my caller, Kim Kazi, calling in, because she is one of those rare individuals that you meet once in a lifetime. I wish her a lot of luck on her literary endeavors, and I thank all of you that tune in every week. Make sure you get my books at lulu.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, and futurenetworkproductions.com. I'm Darlene Lewis. Until next time.